and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord, and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Welcome, everyone. I hope that wherever you are right now, you are finding the blessings and the peace in the moment, and that you are feeling the magnetic warmth of your own light. It is a wonderful time to be here, and I am grateful for your presence. Thank you for listening to the show. I am Molly McCord, and today we have a wonderful guest on the program. Sister Jenna is here to share with us spiritual wisdom, more about her spiritual journey and path, some insights about meditation and peace, and all the initiatives and projects that she is contributing to and sharing with us. So please stay tuned for a fascinating conversation with her. As always, we like to start the show with a few brief announcements. And if you are new to the program, a warm welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for connecting. I trust that you have arrived at just the right time for you, and I hope that you find a lot of value in this show and in this program. I am a best-selling spiritual author, an astrologer, a spiritual teacher, and I share consciousness-raising information on my website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. You can click over there and check out everything that is going on, including a free 44-page book designed to help you ridiculously love and celebrate yourself. This book is a gift that I share and I give to you, because when you raise your vibration, when you raise your light and love yourself more, it has a huge ripple effect around the world, and I think we can all agree that the world needs more love right now. So thank you for being here. This show has been going strong for about 2 years now, and one of my favorite parts of doing this weekly broadcast is connecting you with the latest and greatest spiritual wisdom and fascinating people. For those of you who are interested in learning more about your own energy, you can find more resources and mastery courses at spiritualityuniversity.com. That is where we are going to be releasing more courses, more information, more guidance, all kinds of good stuff to help you accelerate your journey to self-mastery. So please click on over and check out spiritualityuniversity.com, and also connect with us on Facebook, where there are daily posts designed to make you smile and uplift your energy. One of the blessings that is happening right now at Spirituality University is that we have so much content, so many courses, that we are actually a little bit backlogged with getting it all out. So thank you for hanging in there. We have some wonderful spiritual information coming your way from some great teachers, and I'm excited to introduce you to more of this wisdom. So just a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes, because that can be interesting to know. So today we are going to connect with Sister Jenna, and she has a wonderful story, my friends. So let me give you a brief introduction of everything that she has experienced and contributed. For decades, she has been known as Sister Jenna, and she has moved and shaped the consciousness of lives around the world. She has traveled to over 80 countries to raise awareness of the self and the divine. As director of the Meditation Museum in Metropolitan Washington, D.C., she has created a space for the public that is a safe haven for personal reflection and growth. The museum offers weekly and monthly programs in various areas of spirituality and personal empowerment. She also serves as director of the Washington, D.C. branch of the Brahma Kumaris, a worldwide spiritual organization with over 8,000 branches in 120 countries. For the past 16 years, Sister Jenna has led 14 citywide initiatives, which subsequently became global. The Meditation Museum has brought much attention to the importance of becoming a more value-based community with local and global trust and cooperation amongst all. And so I want you all to know how much she is doing in the world, because it's really needed at this time, and it's really fascinating. And another thing that Sister Jenna has spearheaded is the launch of America Meditating, Pause for Peace, which launched in 2012. It's a powerful invitation for others to join her in creating a more peaceful and loving world. And it continues to have a daily impact through the America Meditating radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can listen every day for inspiring messages, new wisdom, and various experts who speak with Sister Jenna on all these different types of ways that we can be more peaceful together. Sister Jenna has been featured on television and radio shows, is a sought-out speaker for platforms ranging from the UN to juvenile delinquent facilities, and is a regular blogger for the Huffington Post and Patch News, serving millions of readers. She has received honorary degrees and mentions for her spiritual leadership and unique model for positive change. So, Sister Jenna, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here today.
You almost make it seem like I'm important.
Oh, but you are. Oh, you so are. I mean, you're, everything you've done and are doing is just wonderful and valued, and standing applause for you.
Well, you know, Molly, I think it's like you. You know, when you do something from the heart, it's your success. It doesn't matter about the accolades from others or how much money you bring in, but you're so self-sustained or satisfied because you feel like you're showing up from a right place from within you. And if you could see one more person in the day smile because of you, you know you're living your truth. So I think we both kind of have an idea of what that feels like.
Absolutely. Yes. Beautifully said, because that really is what it's all about. It really is that those feelings that we can't quantify, but we know that we're sharing and creating in others. And I'm so delighted to introduce you, hopefully, to people who aren't familiar with your path, your work, your projects, because I think that there is such a need right now for everything that you're doing. And you have such a fascinating history or personal story from being an owner of nightclubs in Miami to opening up to your spiritual path. And I'm sure there's a lot to share there. So just to get the ball rolling, I'd love to know, how did it begin for you? And how did you shift from that businesswoman with nightclubs and a very active nightlife to Sister Jenna?
Nice question. So can we do like 10 parts to the show?
Yes. we'll break it up.
You know, I think
many
for
stories.
You know, so many of us, we're all walking with a story in us, and there are particular events or moments that just amplify and captures our attention. And for me, it was in my 20s where it was just a calling. It was a vision, actually. I just felt God's light just calling me, like, aren't you coming? Aren't you coming to heaven? Now, my mother's Roman Catholic and my dad's a Hindu. So it was just like I saw my dad with Krishna all happy and my mother crying from the church. So I used to think they're so unique, you know, and I just knew that our interpretation of God was a tribal, cultural, geographical dimension. And that was just something that hit me from a child, but I don't think I was intelligent enough to decode what that meant. And even though my interpretation of God's love is an energy and a being of light, I know that I have to behave myself to some subtle extent in order to access that energy and to feel it. So in my 20s, I got some visions, and yes, I was running two amazing nightclubs, having a wonderful time. And when that experience comes to you, and I really want to emphasize this with all your listeners, pay attention. There's something there that's trying to take all of us to another dimension of existing. So I listened to the vision. I went to India for a month, came back, and wasn't the same. And I knew I couldn't go back to the old, and I waited, and I trusted. And Dadi Janki, who's a 98-year-old yogi, still alive today and head of the Brahma Kumaris movement, basically told me to come with her. And so I thought I was going to be, you know, living with this night, you know, at that time she must have been in her 70s or something, and this great saint. And she says, no, go to New York for training. I go, New York? Who goes to New York to be spiritual? But that was where I ended up. So I did my training there with another beautiful yogi, Sister Mohini, who's been around for like 30, 40 years. And I learned a lot about listening on a subtle level and behaving according to those subtle listenings. And so my spiritual journey has a lot to do with listening to the subtleties of what you're experiencing in your silence with God, and allowing that experience to begin to move you a little differently. I walk lighter. I sit gentler. I speak softer. I'm still happy and still partying. It's just that intoxication is knowledge. It's not alcohol. And I still have a wonderful time with people. So that's how it all started, actually, back in the days.
Well, it seems that New York then is a beautiful place for spiritual training, because if you can listen to yourself in New York, you can listen anywhere. I think that makes a lot of sense. So, Sister Jenna, you know, you are the founder and director of the Meditation Museum in Washington, D.C., and the idea of a meditation museum right in the heart of the nation's capital is fascinating. So how did this name come about, and can you tell us a little bit more about what you offer there?
Sure. My great-great-grandfather had a vision that in every city we should do museums. So that was a long time ago. But nonetheless, a friend of mine found a space, and I came into the space, and I felt like, this should be the Meditation Museum. And I asked a lot of my influential friends and thought leaders, and I asked, do you think I could get away with it? And they basically said, Sister Jenna, we have your back. And if you can do this, it's a sign that definitely it's time. So Washington has hundreds of museums, but, you know, there's a crime and punishment museum. There's a spy museum. There's definitely the Air and Space Museum. But there isn't a meditation that can help folks to understand the dimensions of soul. And that was what I wanted to do. So we opened up about 6 years ago, and it's been incredible. Over 200 events take place per year. We've had already 6 exhibits that have rotated in the space. And we have a current one called Being with the One, which is a connection between the soul and God. And then you determine what that feels for you. So I didn't want to be in a path that's proselytizing or telling people what to do. I more wanted to create a space that folks could come in and figure out who they really are. And so the museum offers that energy. The minute you walk in, you feel there's something different here, there's something here. And I think it reminds people of that stillness and that clarity and that purity and power that's intrinsic in every human being. And so that's how it really came about, and we've been enjoying ourselves. We're going to have to move soon because there's a developer that's going to be building up this whole section. So we're in the business now of looking to relocate like a nomad. And that's an interesting feeling for me, Molly, I have to say. I knew that we were going to have to move at some point. But, you know, when you get closer to the reality, it's interesting to watch your thoughts and to see if you believe in change and what's beneficial,
right,
and everything that you teach, or are you attached to the old?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of our ongoing dynamics in our lives is that opportunity to trust again, to follow what is right for the situation. Again, it's like that part of trust, listening, trusting, acting is something that we have many opportunities to work with and improve. And I'm sure, I just feel it, that the Meditation Museum is going to have an even better home, even more vibrational, like, location that will match all the people who are coming in. And I guess I just feel it. It's like more people are just going to discover what you're offering and doing and be excited that that you have this new neighborhood to expand into. So we will set some loving intentions for that transition.
I'm totally accepting that, especially because you're an astrologer.
Yes. Yes, yes. And it feels like I'm trying to pinpoint a little bit more, but I guess it just feels like it's going to lead to even more connections and opportunities and events and all this new level of success perhaps that people are ready for. And I can only imagine the impact that you're having in Washington, D.C. Now, really quick, just for people who are in that area, who are in the vicinity or who are even on the East Coast, Meditation Museum, can you just tell us quickly the hours in case people want to check it out or come by?
Sure, absolutely. The hours are Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., but there are countless of activities that take place, so they can visit the meditationmuseum.org website. And if they actually go to the Pulse for Peace, which is a free app, they can also get updates of quotations, thoughts for the day. But I have there's so many meditation centers in the U.S., and if they went to the brahmakumaris.org website, they can get a meditation museum wherever they are in the country.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. So not only do you have a meditation museum and all those events happening, but you've also launched this wonderful initiative called America Meditating, Pause for Peace, which you just briefly mentioned. Could you tell us a little bit more about this and how it all began, benefits of meditation,
sure,
all this information that people are really hungry for?
Well, one of the things that America doesn't claim all the time is their spiritual heritage, and they don't claim meditation as something that they're strong in. I've been in this country for over 40-something years, and it is something that means a lot to me that I want to contribute one thing in this country, and I want to contribute the power of its spiritual capacity. And with all of its economic strengths or ways of doing things or military empowerment, in order for us to really survive as a nation, it needs a spiritual story. It needs to get rooted in something very profoundly deep from the soul level. I'm not talking about religious. Whatever your religion is, keep it. But to incorporate a practice of introspection, listening to what your story is so you can become a better person. So when we created the initiative America Meditating, it was to bring the country to the awareness, you can do this. You don't have to be busy all the time. We can do this. We can step inwards. So from that launch, you know, we got proclamations from the governor. We've been global now, and we ended up doing a Pause for Peace, which actually goes in classrooms, where we have a little sign that teachers or principals can declare their school or class as a Pause for Peace school, where there's a little sign that basically reminds the students or the teachers, take a moment, find out what's real for you. And we've also been around hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places where we are initiating Pause for Peace spaces, where we send the plaques free of charge. And in your space, you can put that up, and you know you're a space that pauses for peace. Whatever way we can contribute to this inner balance, this inner harmony, we will create and leave a legacy behind for kids to follow. And so that initiative is so rooted in making this country own up to the fact that it has a lot of immigrants here. There's a lot of ancient stories here. And we bring a lot of spiritual truths, but as a country, together, we need to own something as powerful as meditation, which it basically states to me, heal thyself. heal your mind from the algae. No more anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego. Heal that energy in you so we can leave something behind for the next generation that's following.
So powerful, an incredibly worthwhile message and messages that you just shared, because I think this is really rooted in what a lot of people are looking for. They are looking for a way to direct their energy that is more light-based, love-based, empowering, encouraging, essentially returning to their natural state of being connected with their soul energy. And so what I find so fascinating is how the initiative is called America Meditating, and it raises the question of why aren't people in other countries being encouraged to meditate?
You know, I think that people's definition of meditation is usually around somebody in a robe, sitting quietly, chanting a mantra, spinning a bead, or looking at a particular flower. But I feel that everyone meditates. They're trying to fix themselves in their own private ways. Like when a husband and a wife have an argument, after that's done in their quiet spaces, they're wishing they could have done that better. That's meditation. When the kid's yelling and screaming and we scream back at our teenage child knowing that there's nothing we can do for them, it's just teenage hormones, we find ourselves going into silence thinking that we could have done that better. When somebody does anything that gives sorrow, there's an automatic mechanism in every soul that soul tries to go in the self and say, did I do something wrong? Could I have done something better? The problem is, if there isn't a link to the divine energy, then the soul feels very disempowered, like it doesn't have the strength to change its habits. So people tend to say, I don't know how to meditate, because when you meditate, you need strength to keep pulling in the goodness that you know you are. But people are meditating. They just don't label it or hashtag meditate, you know. So they're like saying, okay, I don't know how to do it, because they think you've got to find the time, you got to sit like this, you got to do like this. No, it's very active. It's an awareness. It is a sense of feeling within your being that I've got to do something more for myself. You're meditating when you do that. I think people are getting there. I think that shows like yours and people like you and me and all the folks that are finding that courage to listen to our own stories and do something with it, it is rippling out there and people are feeling it. They're getting closer to it. It's just that you don't need the majority of people to practice meditation. You just need a small, concentrated percentage of folks to really create that impact, and you will see how it will shift history. It has taken the voices of the minority to change history. It won't be the majority. So the fact that you and I are together and your listeners, we're making a difference. You told me that on our radio show together, that everyone that listens to my show, and the same for you, something is happening in their hearts. Something is changing in them. They're contributing. They're meditating. A shift is taking place.
Beautifully said. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree, and I feel it. And there's something so mesmerizing about your words and hearing you speak, because I feel that when you speak, you do carry that vibration in your voice of that connection, and it's one of the reasons that makes that you're so powerful and amazing speaker, and everything that you're sharing strongly is resonating within me, and I'm sure every person listening, and that's why they're here, because they are ready to return to these messages that they know in their soul, that they know in their own energy. And you touched on some really important things about meditation and what we usually think of it as. You recently wrote an article on the Huffington Post that posed the question, can yoga change the world? And in that, you had mentioned a form of meditation called, is it Raja Yoga? Am I saying that properly?
Very
good. Raja.
Yeah, very yeah. good. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So can you explain a little bit more about this form of meditation and how it differs from other forms of meditation and yoga?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Prime Minister from India visited America, and he basically made an address at the UN that he believes it's a lifestyle change that will help to reduce the climate issues that we're going through in terrorism. And he emphasized that it's more of a spiritual practice than a physical practice. And Raj means king, yoga means union. So if I am able to have yoga with the purest part of my story, and I'm able to connect to the divine, to God, then I'll be able to master myself. And master means even when the impurities that are creating the peacelessness in the world, such as I had mentioned earlier, anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego. Even when those impurities are coming up in my consciousness and are coming through my words, my body language, my behavior, the way that I dress, the way that I earn money, the way that I spend money, the way that I deal with people, is that when I can actually master myself by reminding myself that purity is at the root cause of your existence. And what you really want is happiness, so don't try a shortcut by using algae. Just be pure and peaceful and your happiness will exist. So when you study Raj Yoga, you learn that, and that's what is taught at every one of our meditation centers around the world. Understand yourself, connect to the supreme energy, you will take charge of your life, and you will be an instrument that will reduce peacelessness in the world. And I deeply believe that. I'm not saying Raj Yoga is your cure. Your cure is your ability to receive love from God and to actively bring that love into action, especially when adverse situations are in front of you. So the practice that I am introducing to everyone is Raj Yoga meditation, because it worked for me. So it might work for some of your listeners, but maybe your listeners might want something else. But it's more of a spiritual type of yoga, Molly, and it's really the king of all yogas. And so I feel that it's time. We're ready. We're ready. Suffering is so high right now. You do your astrological readings because sometimes people are uncertain as to what's coming in front of them. And yes, you wonder, like, why people go for psychic readings or intuitive readings or astrological readings. There's a story recorded in us. But because we're so distracted by algae, we can't see clearly what's ahead of us. And because that energy of algae is mixed with the energy of truth and divinity, the story becomes dramatic. So I turn to folks like you and go, what do you see in my future? I'm still waiting to get my time that I was born so you can read me too. So it's like, you're wondering to yourself at times, like, what's ahead of me? Because I feel a little uncertain. There are a lot of changes and I don't know how to handle them. So that means there's got to be something in us. And so I feel that when you practice Raj Yoga, you get a lot more insight on your present and how that creates your future. It's a great practice. And at all of our meditation centers, Molly, they're free. So you can't pay for spiritual knowledge, but you pay for the lights, the building, the programs, the projects. But at any of our centers, you can't pay for truth. That's given by the universe and by God. There's not a price tag on that.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you touched on so many important points. And just to share that, you know, one of the reasons why I think that astrology is useful, as well as many other wisdom tools out there, is that it's your energy, and an astrologer or psychic or someone else is just that messenger who reconnects you to your own energy, to yourself. And I believe that's really the intention behind it. And so it really is in alignment with this need to get silent, to tune in for our own answers, to trust what we hear and what we feel, because that is our power, that is our truth, that is our connection to everything around us as well as everything within us. And I just love what you are contributing and sharing, Sister Jenna, because it's just so needed right now that people are looking for that connection that's already within them, but they're just feeling separated from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. And we all have to go through that. I think one of the reasons why God stays up above is that he feels us. And if he were to get too attached, he wouldn't be able to do his work. And one of the trainings in Raj Yoga is to be able to connect to that source where it so purely transforms the algae into virtues. And you need time to, you know, fix that entropy that has happened. You ever tried to separate your milk from a cup of coffee after you've mixed it? Almost impossible. But there is an ingredient that you can put in there, and you can separate it. Like in Indian culture, there's a dish called paneer, and it's where you boil the milk, and then you add either vinegar or lemon juice. And the moment you add it, and the milk, the curd, it just separates, and all you see left is water. So when your soul amplifies its love for the Supreme, the algae gets separated, and you realize that's not useful for you anymore. What's useful for you is the richness of your existence, to be pure, to be loving, to be joyous, to be at peace with your conscience, and to be contented. And that's where I feel like it's really vital at this time. And yes, we're ready to take on this challenge.
Absolutely. I'm never going to look at palak paneer the same way again.
I bet you won't.
Yeah. So I'd love to know a little bit more about your thoughts and a spiritual perspective on why there seems to be so much peacelessness and lack in our world, because it is definitely a big theme right now that many people are experiencing, often in private, but also globally.
Mm-hmm. Algae. No one to blame. Algae. That energy of anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego is recorded in every human consciousness, and it's leading the way right now, and it's omnipresent. Algae is omnipresent, and because the natural law of energy is at bay, that's just what's happened. Spring turns into summer, summer into fall, fall into winter. Similarly, human consciousness goes through a cycle. From being absolutely pure, we go through changes. We're now at our Kali Yuga state, our Iron Age state, our 90% of algae state. But it's the 10% of purity and peace that's eternal that's actually going to shift the table. So as we start to tap into that energy, that 90% of algae becomes 80, and then 78, and then 75, and then 60, so you start to feel love, purity, peace, and all of that starts to overwhelm the algae, and the original nature of the soul comes back. So we're under a destined story called nature, and we are part of nature, you know, and we change. So the reason why we are viewing lack in the world, it's because the energy of the soul has changed. We are more takers than we are bestowers. So when we can take energy from the divine, then we're able to finally bestow to a civilization that's lacking so much. So when there can be instruments that are filling up with God's love, then they can start to give that energy to a world that's in need of that energy to redesign itself. So that's what's happening, and this is where I've reached the point that any time you blame anyone, I can guarantee you at that moment of blaming, you've lacked love. That means God's not present. So don't blame. Accept that folks are playing out their parts. The question is, what's mine? I'm here to be an instrument of love and peace. I'm not saying that I do it all the time, Molly, but the fact that I know that the destination is to constantly be an instrument of love and peace, when I'm not that, I'm aware of how important it is to be that.
Beautiful. I was getting chills as you spoke and shared, because that has such a strong resonance, and it's a truth. It's absolutely a truth. And it reminded me of the Hawaiian prayer, the Ho'oponopono, that releases and removes blame from situations. And when we can say those words out loud, we return to that place within us that is God, that is love, that is able to give more than it takes. And wow, it's just so powerful. And, you know, it's so timely, because for thousands of years we have been offered scriptures and pathways to a better humanity. So why do you think at a time right now when we have so much around us, so many resources, why are we still enduring suffering in the world? Why is this still existing when it seems we should know better?
I can answer that in two ways. Let me try the deep way first. There are a lot of new souls that are still coming on the scene of life, and so they're entitled to live their story and their truth and their golden age. And at the same token, there are a lot of old souls that have been here, been reincarnated, rebirthed from many, many births, and they are paying back their karmas. In other words, if they've taken more than they're given, then they're going to need to come and pay back. So in a way, what we're seeing is like there are these souls of hope that come with newness and energy and innovativeness and sweetness and virtues, and they're in a way sustaining the world. And then at the same token, we're looking at a very high percentage of folks that are suffering. But in reality, population has really gone through the roof in the last 50 years or 100 years. The population in 1900 was just 1.4 billion. Now it's over 7 billion. So in the last 100 years, there have been so many new souls coming into the drama, into the story, and they're living out their stories. But there are a lot of old souls that are telling us there's history here. And vices such as anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego, they bankrupt the soul. So a lot of times when you turn to a new soul and you see virtues, or when you turn to a baby and you see purity, something in your subconscious is triggered to remind yourself, I come from that. What happened? So I think really the question is, what's my plan to reclaim my purity? And I think that's what people need to start to ask themselves, because the root cause of suffering is that my purity has been corrupted by algae, and I need to get that back if I'm going to end suffering in the world. So again, it's nature, and that's my understanding of what's going on, and I'm pretty strong about that. But if something comes and shows me something differently, I think I'm intelligent enough to say, I get you. I surrender my old belief systems. I get it. So, it's these things that I mentioned.
Yes. And on that note, there are so many resources right now for returning to our purity, whether that is through a daily meditation practice and yoga, just being more conscious and aware of your words, your actions, your choices, where you direct your energy. It's like there is so much support right now for that state of purity and living from that energy. So it's also quite an exciting time that we can make these choices and feel that we're supported with them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I would love to now talk about the Om Challenge, Sister Jenna, because I think this is a wonderful initiative that was recently launched by the House of International Media. It's called the Om Challenge for World Peace, and your Blog Talk Radio show, America Meditating, is supporting it. So could you tell us more about this global initiative and also the meaning of Om, because I know that's something that people, we hear it, but what does it really mean?
Sure. Well, this is something I'm really, I'm just tickled by. And you all must have heard of the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I wouldn't waste water, and I definitely wouldn't throw ice and water over my white sari and freeze half to death. But the fact that they raised hundreds of millions of dollars is a good thing. And I thought about, you know, we need to come up with something that was more spiritually connected and would serve our humanity at another level too. So the Om Challenge is extremely simple. It's about setting the intention. For example, I'm taking the Om Challenge because I want peace in my marriage. You breathe in deeply, and then you see if you could actually chant Om for 60 seconds straight without taking a second breath. You realize it's not as easy as it seems. And then we ask you to nominate someone if they can out-Om you. So far, everyone's been able to out-Om me because I just can't chant for that long. But it's about creating that experience of peace within yourself and knowing that you can be even light about your contribution to peace in the world. And the sound of Om, we do it all the time for those of us who are from Western backgrounds. It's like how many times have you responded to a text message and said, aw? And then, ooh, how many times have you seen something and you have this gentle amazement, like, ooh. And then how many times have you had a moment of pleasure or ate something that was really delicious and you went, mmm. So we're actually all oming all the time. And so whether you're from the East or the West, people are oming. It's just a language that makes us think we're not doing it. So whenever you go, oh, you're oming. And you're creating some sort of a resonance in the atmosphere. And there is a sacredness to it that connects the soul to a very beautiful rhythm within itself. And so I would love for folks to take the Om Challenge. And, you know, they've got the hashtag Om Challenge. They've got the tweet Om Challenge Twitter account. And they've got an Om Challenge Facebook and YouTube challenge. And basically, we want to see if we can grab Oms from all around the world and create a video of that where people really hear their own voices of peace on a global level. And that's how we got involved with it with our friends at House of International Media.
Beautiful. It sounds really powerful, and I feel like it's something that people want to contribute to and participate in because of the need to set those intentions and to share them and to share that energy. And I love it. And I was honored to be on your program and to participate in the Om Challenge with you and to share it with more people now. So friends, be sure and check out at Om Challenge as well as hashtag Om Challenge. You'll find them on Twitter and Facebook and all the places that Sister Jenna just mentioned. And, you know, when we talk about meditation, something that comes up for everyone, all of us in our busy modern lives, is that we think we don't have time. You know, we think, oh, I have to do an hour. Where am I going to find an extra hour? And I have my family and everything else that creates our busy to-do lists. So what recommendations can you offer us in this area just to help people maybe perhaps find time for meditation or to even prioritize it a bit more?
You don't physically need time to meditate. You need mentally to be aware of what you're thinking. And you're driving in the car. You're walking from your cubicle to the bathroom. You're about to go and see your boss, and there's a deadline, and it's not ready. What are you thinking? So it's the quality of your thoughts that determine if you're meditating or not. If you're having thoughts to be stronger, purer at heart, to be more of a solution-oriented person, you're meditating. I think this concept that we've been conditioned to believe that it's an emptying of the mind has made us remove ourselves from the practice of meditation. But I've realized that you'll never stop thinking. The question is, am I thinking the thoughts that are beneficial to my life? So, listeners, you don't need time to meditate. You need awareness. And you need to believe that you're here as an instrument to be of service and to do service. And that means someone who's got some sort of a quality or silence. There's not a lot of inner conflict going on with you because you weren't listening to your intuitive feelings. So your listeners can really hop on the bandwagon and say, yeah, I meditate. I pay a lot of attention to what I'm thinking. And I try to bring virtues to every scene of my life. Anybody who decides to do that is a meditator. You can watch a football game and be meditating at halftime. Or even when you watch yourself getting carried away, go, 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 go. You go, let me check myself because I know this is just a game here. Yeah, he's going to get this touchdown. I've watched 100 football games. I'm just trying to get my adrenaline and my happiness going. But I just want to grab just a few moments of awareness. Look at the people around me. Look at all my friends that came sit with me. Look at all the love that I've inherited. You want to do those things. And when you become mindful and sincere, you are a meditator. Yes, if you're more disciplined, it means you're optimizing your transformation. Yes, if you're more consistent about it, it means you're optimizing your transformation. Yes, do it. But don't think you don't meditate. If you care any iota about your life and you're doing something about it quietly in your thinking, you are a meditator. so you don't physically need time. Tell your guests that, Molly. They just need awareness.
Beautifully explained and manageable and something that people can do right now in this moment or when they're done listening to this program. You can just start this mindfulness at a new level. And one of the things you touched on and mentioned was driving in the car, which is something that we all do. And I find that those are, you know, some of my best thoughts come at that time because I am more mindful and more aware of everything within. One of the things that I've enjoyed discovering about you is that you offer ways to support people with their meditation and mindfulness with your CD, your meditation CD called Off to Work. And I'd love for people to know more a bit about this so that they can see if it resonates with them and something that they can use daily when they are driving around.
Sure. It's really just to optimize everyone's awareness and consciousness before they get into the workplace. And they can just Google Off to Work Sister Jenna and download the app there or the program or purchase the app, sorry, and use that whilst they're in the car preparing dinner. Whatever it is that you need to trigger your goodness, just do it. Whether it's my CD or 10 other per-person CDs, just find something that touches your heart. Find something that can make you feel your purity and your power again, and you'll be okay. You will sustain your goodness that's there. And I hope that my CD will help folks to do that. The best track on the CD is The Practice of Letting Go, which is just 99 cents. So if you just want to purchase that one, just do that one. And I can assure you that when you hear that meditation, something's going to shift in you. Something will shift when you hear that track.
Beautiful. Yes. We just have a few more moments left, and you have so many activities going on, and you also host the daily radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, America Meditating Radio Show. And could you tell us a bit more about the types of guests that you feature and let people know more about the program?
Well, great guests like you.
Oh, thank you. That was not a setup.
No. You know, I it's a very interesting story behind an AM radio show. My mother had recovered from cancer. She has a beautiful voice. She's been a meditator for 30 years. And after chemo and radiation, it knocks you down. And we first started and said, Mom, why don't you just do this so you can still do service? And it was supposed to be just for 15 minutes. And she said, yeah, could you just start out a little bit? And here I am stuck, you know, like a year and a half later. But it turned out to be so successful, and I wasn't expecting it. It was really of charity to the love of my mother. It turns out that she reads the poems, and I end up, you know, taking on the helm of the Blog Talk radio show that we happily do every day, Monday through Friday. We've had you on. We've had Alanis Morissette. We've had Russa Simmons. We've had Sharon Gannon. We've had India Ari. We've had Byron Katie, David Lynch. We've had folks that are into a whole bunch of stuff, and those are a lot of powerful people, you know, that I've mentioned to you. Please know that even those that might not be earning millions of dollars every year, they're also on the radio show and they've got a story to tell. So we've got just the most unique voices, and I've built friendships with them. And every year now, we have a retreat of all the guests on the America Meditating Radio Show. So look out for your invitation, Molly.
Oh, cool. And, wow. I can't believe I was in that lineup, because those are some people that I just think are amazing and doing incredible work in the world.
Oh.
And what a connector you are to bring all these people together.
It is. And what happened is that because I've had the fortune of meeting so many beautiful people, one of the things that Antonia and I felt was that we really wanted to center everyone in a place of power so that when they went out on the field of service, they could offer more. So when we had the retreat this year, everyone was like, we didn't even know why we came, but we just trusted that this was going to be okay. At the end of the retreat, we had 30 states present at that retreat, and
Wow. Everyone
left empowered. And I sat back there looking at everyone, and I turned to God, who I called Baba, and I said, Baba, that's all we wanted. We wanted your kids to be powerful enough so that when they went back out there, they could do their work. Thank you. And I just went on my merry way, and we stayed friends for that time. So there's a lot of work behind the radio show, and we definitely would love everyone's support. Pass it around. Come on board. Let us know if you'd like some guests on the air. And whatever we can do to be of service, I'm there for you. And you have served me so much. Just our conversation that we had the other day when you were talking so openly about your love affair with God, which is private but also public in the way you show up to the world, touched me and made me keep reminding myself how important my relationship with the divine is. And I thank you for that, Molly.
Oh, thank you, Sister Jenna. I appreciate that and just everything that you're sharing and doing and offering all of us. It has such a huge ripple effect that can't be measured and shouldn't be measured because there's such unlimited potential. And it's a joy for all of us to connect through the airwaves like this, to connect through a podcast, a radio show, and to know that we're supported and that there's others out there who might not be in our immediate vicinity who are also doing the same work and filled with the same love-based intentions for all. I want everyone to know that they can connect with you on Facebook and Twitter, and there's a few different websites. Could you share with us some of the best places for people to find you?
Okay, I think the best would be meditationmuseum.org. And if anyone wants to visit any of our meditation centers around the country, just brahmakumaris.org, brahmakumaris.org. And, of course, the Facebook, Twitters, and all of that is out. Would love to get your feedback on the HuffPost articles that I write, so just Google Sister Jenna on Huffington Post. And I don't know, just call me.
Yes, and you can, I know also you have AmericaMeditating.org, where they can go to find out more about Pause for Peace as well as the Om Challenge. So there's just so much going on, so many ways that they can connect with you and discover more about what they need right now and how you can support them. Sister Jenna, we're about to finish up, and I'm so grateful for the time that you were able to spend with me. Thank you for being here. Thank you on behalf of everyone listening. We have a global listenership, as I'm sure your show does as well. What last or final thoughts can you leave with us today?
Love everyone the same. There'll be no problems in your relationships.
Beautiful. Perfect. Yes, a wonderful thought that we can each benefit from, especially when we apply it actively in our minds and our emotions and our world. Thank you so much for being here today. It was such a joy to go into a wonderful conversation and to hear more about everything you offer. I have so many things I want to check out now, including more about Raja Yoga and everything. So thank you for being this gateway and opening to more spiritual truth and wisdom. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Molly, and all the best to you for your continued service to humanity.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad that you could find some time to listen to this episode. Remember, you can come back and listen again if there's anything you missed, if there's anything more you want to hear Sister Jenna speak about, and also be sure and check out her daily radio show. It's a morning show on Blog Talk Radio called America Meditating. Thanks, everybody. I wish you the very best, and we'll connect with you very soon for our next live episode. Take good care.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. And I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough.